RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Stormy Weather Val
and Beans. It's stormy over there, huh?
It's getting here. I can see it all creeping in. We're going to get thunderstorms in a little bit. I actually just went to go have my – I know this is counterintuitive, but I went to go get my car washed when I went to go grab some coffee because I know that it's going to rain, and I saw it on the forecast before I left the house, but there was just so much bird shit on my car.
You know, it is absolutely crazy to me that you just said that because – My husband was just leaving a place and called me. And he was like, if you don't mind, I'm going to go get a car wash. And I'm like, it's going to rain. And he's like, yeah, but there's this huge mound of bird crap on my hood. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's so funny. I have to post the pictures. I was like going through my iPhone, like looking to delete some stuff. And I found pictures from over the summer of last year where, I mean, the massacre that was my car. I don't think it's unspeakable, apparently.
Oh, no. I wish if I can wake up early enough to catch the pterodactyl that hovers over my car every morning. There's a pterodactyl that hovers and hangs out on the power lines over my car. So I figured, okay, well, it's not. I don't care that the rain, it rains after a wash because the rain is not going to take this stuff off. So I got that done and I parked it across the street where there is there's no power lines. So at least it'll be bird poop free for a half a day.
We don't have power lines here. They're all underground. And it's really interesting because like the day that this happened to my car, I'm going to put the pictures on Twitter because now I have to. But the day that this happened to my car, my mom ran over and she was like, oh my gosh, my car, there was something wrong with it. I don't remember what. And she's like, can I borrow yours? And I'm like, if you want to drive around looking like this, you can. And she'd never asked me to borrow a car before, ever. It was just that one day.
I remember one day when I was a kid, my mother thought we would do my father had the first car I remember my father having was this brown Trans Am. It was a really, really sick looking car. And then he when he got rid of the Trans Am, he got into this other brownish looking thing, a plum colored car or something like that. And it was really crappy. I think it was like a Kia or something like that, or a Hyundai. And at that time, Hyundai was really just off the scrap heap type of a car. They've kind of raised their stock a little bit more in recent years. And my mother thought it would be a really nice surprise for me, my brother, and her to go and take my father's car for a car wash. And when we got inside the car wash, the water started spraying in from all sides of the windows. Nothing was really sealed. So we started freaking out. We were so young, we thought we were going to drown. It was like a scene out of the Titanic. My mother, it was one of those things where it was just so funny. My father thought he didn't know what was going on. We just took the car to surprise him. But my mom, being my mom, when we got back home from the fiasco, she started yelling at my father. And she got mad at him for having such a crappy car.
Meanwhile, you were trying to...
Yeah, surprise. We were trying to do something good for you. Meanwhile, he gets berated for no reason.
Wow.
That's funny.
Just wow. Poor dad. Poor dad.
We all survived.
Yeah, barely. Barely. So I have a lot of stuff teed up today. Some of it more impactful than others, but I still have a lot of stuff teed up nonetheless. And I think I want to start, Frank. I texted you this morning and I was like, we're going to listen to something today on the show from Hannity last night, which was a great episode. But the thing that gets me, and this is off topic from what we're going to listen to, it bothers me that the day before, and I love Hannity. I used to hate him. I love him. He's grown on me. I think he's really awesome. But the day before last, he said his sources were telling him that the IG report was going to drop any day now, right? Last night on his show, he acted as though he had no idea when it was going to drop and nothing was going on. So I want people to stop it, please. The public has been on enough of a roller coaster. Just stop playing with us, please.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I've actually gotten away from it. I mean, I know there are certain things that are on the horizon that need to be dealt with one way or another. There's going to be resolutions and conclusions. But as far as making predictions, you can tell what order things are going to come in. But as far as when the rapture date is, it really is like it's like setting rapture dates where everybody, oh, okay, the world's going to end tomorrow. All right. Well, let's see when it strikes midnight in New Zealand. What happens then?
Yeah. No, you're right. I agree with you. I mean, I don't think that I'm alone when I say this at all. I'm really excited today. I feel like I'm just excited. I just have this upbeat sort of pep in my step. I don't know
why.
Me
too.
You do?
Me too. I'm with you too. I felt like I had a good show last night. There's really exciting things to talk about in the news that are even more slightly unrelated, but still related to the greater scheme of things that we've been following.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Some kind of bounce in the air. I don't know.
Declare your independence from this stuff and everything seems a lot lighter. What the hell happened? I know that what the hell happened in Australia with ABC?
They got raided. I was just reading that. I didn't get very much in detail. And Lord knows when I don't get in detail, I get it. I get it from people if I speak up without knowing everything. Rightfully so. So bear with me. But I'm reading that they were raided. Their offices were raided.
Yeah, I and of course the comments are split. Half the people saying, well, this is what you get for the way that you vote, Australia, like as if this is some kind of a tyrannical overthrow of the media. But then again, on the other side, there's people saying,
well, what happens if
ABC,
they did something
Australia,
wrong? Are they above the law? I don't understand.
I just don't know. I, if you call yourself a news organization and you lean a certain way, then apparently, your shit doesn't stink.
It's crazy because I was saying to myself, like, wow, anybody can basically, like, I was like, I call myself a journalist and I think I am. So that means that I'm now protected from, you know, lawless behavior. I don't understand. It's weird. Like, if we're never going to be able to hold anyone accountable anymore because it's always some kind of like political attack. Bongino's show yesterday was like spot on. We're getting a little, it doesn't matter, whatever. We'll get to the clip. But he was talking about the Paul Manafort raid, transfer, right? And so Brian Cates did a thread about that and how Rikers Island is a whole, I learned a lot about Rikers Island that I didn't know before in terms of like what they do there and how horrible it is and how many facilities they have. They have like 7 facilities and each of them house a different sort of person, and it's a jail, not a prison. And, you know, they're all separated into kind of crimes and blah, 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 blah. But to me, putting Manafort in Rikers because he's awaiting trial in New York, who filed additional stuff against him, none of it violent, none of it like, you know, violent crime, and then putting him in solitary confinement to protect him. Like, isn't there somewhere else you could put him that isn't so nasty, like white collar jail or something?
Yeah.
And Bongino, having been a police officer in Brooklyn, spoke out about it too and said how abhorrent it is that they're doing this and like how we've basically lost the Republic because this is a political persecution, even though he did now convicted commit crimes. It doesn't mean that we should, just because somebody worked for Trump, treat them like like a third world country.
He obviously needed to be made an example of. Remember, this is the biggest fish. This is the only thing that they were able to take away from the Russia investigation. This is the only thing that they have. So if you can come down hard on the guy and make it seem like, wow, this was huge. A huge thing was uncovered. I mean, run-of-the-mill stuff. Remember.
Greg Craig did the same thing.
Yeah. Tony Podesta. Yep. Identical crimes were completely overlooked in order to make a fiasco and a spectacle out of a brief Trump associate.
Brief. Very brief. Who didn't do anything. Oh, God. Well, we don't have to relitigate the whole thing, but you know.
No. I think this is all very, very relevant, because I'll tell you something else. What it comes into, not only is Manafort being shifted to Rikers and all that stuff relevant, but also we were talking about how the guy who did the meme,
yeah,
the day laborer from the Bronx, who he may not even be the one who actually created it, but he was the one singled out by the Daily Beast.
Yeah.
We were talking about that, and we went into the writer, Kevin Paulson's background,
yep,
his criminal background. And I started thinking about Julian Assange. Let me go into this just for a second.
Yeah, sure.
Paulson was found guilty. This is from Verdad Teller, a short thread on Twitter. They wrote this. Paulson was found guilty and imprisoned for 5 years for his crimes and was then banned from the internet until 2004 when he persuaded his probation officer to allow him access to the World Wide Web. He has then been hired by Daily Beast despite his criminal past. His crimes included wiretapping, the intimate phone calls of a Hollywood actress, conspiring to steal classified military orders, cracking an army computer, and snooping into an FBI probe of former Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos, all while working on national security issues. In November 1989, Paulson was indicted on 19 counts of conspiracy, fraud, wiretapping, and money laundering. He even fled law enforcement. Paulson was found guilty and imprisoned for 5 years for his crimes and was then banned from the internet until 2004. So I would ask this, I'm reading about this, how we have, by all whatever reports are getting to the mainstream about this, because it seems like it's a very suppressed, murky story that we can't get real verification on one way or another. But supposedly we have Julian Assange with his physical and mental health dangling by a thread. And now we have this guy over here working for the Daily Beast, destroying people who make memes.
I know. And, you know, it's funny that you say that, because that'll segue us into a different story that I didn't want to talk about, but we will, because it's. See, you listen to Steven Crowder at all?
Every once in a while. You know what? I've watched a couple more of his videos lately than I have in months.
I like him. I like listening to him. I think his show is really freaking funny. And the funniest thing is, it's not fun. You remember a couple weeks ago, I think it was, we talked about that Vice guy that did the propaganda piece about Fox News. We covered it on the show.
Yeah. The Vox guy.
Yeah. So Steven Crowder has taken, you know, he's basically gone after that Vox guy and he's critiqued his content. His name is Carlos Maza. And Carlos Maza happens to be gay. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he has a YouTube channel that's much bigger. They're funded by
NBC.
NBC Universal. So you know a little bit about the story.
Yeah, funded to the tune of $200
million. $200
million.
Carlos Maza's Twitter handle is Gay Wonk, okay? I'm just saying. I just want to throw this out here. Recently, he tweeted that we should be throwing milkshakes at any right-wing activist to make them afraid to be in public anymore, okay? He got offended because Steven Crowder made jokes about his lisp and, you know, he's saying all this stuff is homophobic. When you listen to this compilation video that he put together of Crowder and you just listen to the insults pulled out as their own thing, it sounds nasty and horrible. But at the same time, these were said in the context of a much larger philosophical debate about the ideas behind them. And he's a comedian, okay? He's a comedian. This is what he does. He's not a journalist. He's a comedian. And YouTube, so he gets mad at Steven Crowder, and he goes after him, hardcore, trying to get YouTube to take his channel down. YouTube does this in-depth investigation into Crowder, looks at all the videos that have been flagged. He also calls for his supporters to mass flag Crowder's channel, and then YouTube does the investigation, Frank. They say, listen, although these things are, you know, hurtful, they don't violate our community standards. So we're not taking them down. Amazing. Good. Amazing. Yeah. What does he do? He basically goes online crying like a little baby. This is YouTube's fault. This isn't Crowder's fault. YouTube is, you know, it's Gay Pride Month for God's sakes, you know. and he's like screaming that you know.
How can I have pride when this is happening to me?
I know. You know, he says basically, and not to mention like Crowder, I've seen this. He's like, don't dox people. Don't go after people. Meanwhile, Maz is doing the exact opposite. And not for nothing, the dude spreads nonstop propaganda 24/7. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, that Fox News, even though I don't even watch it, that Fox News bit was ridiculous. I saw Crowder's response. I saw the whole damn thing. I saw his apology video afterwards. That was hilarious. No, this is ridiculous. It doesn't matter to me. I don't, and I'm glad that he's hitting brick walls. I know he's going after advertisers.
Yeah,
now.
No, and then, you know, regular creators are saying, dude, you're going to hurt people all over YouTube because your feelings got hurt. Wah, wah. You know, like, stop taking our livelihood away because you feel sad about something. And the people are right. This guy, I just hope that YouTube stands strong on this, because Crowder's got a couple million subscribers and he didn't do anything wrong. And they know that if they take his channel down, it's over. It's over. You know what I mean? Crowder has the money to sue them, and he will. And he has lawyers working on this, and they know it. So they're on a fine line with him because he's got a case.
This is why I say the left, they ruin everything they touch. They ruin education. They ruin relationships. They ruin sex. How can you ruin sex? They do. They ruin sex. They ruin comedy. And, you know, the whole thing about this is that, yeah, obviously he's working. Crowder is working within the realm of comedy when he's talking about Alex's lisp and stuff like that. Who the hell cares? To claim protected status because you don't want to be the butt of a joke or homophobia. Let me tell you something. When there is nothing, about a guy like Alex Mazza that makes me scared.
Carlos Mazza.
The hell cares?
In his description on Twitter says Tucker Carlson is a white supremacist.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, and he's calling for violence against people. So, you know what? I don't give a sh what you have to say, Carlos. All right? Go stop crying in your Cheerios and just go back into the hole you crawled out of, because it's ridiculous.
I'll tell you something. I am a straight man.
You are?
With a gay father.
Oh.
Who grew up getting real hateful slurs lobbed at me in hateful ways on account of my father. Okay, so it wasn't a joke, because I love a good homoerotic joke, as you may know. Okay, I don't bring all the real uncensored humor out on the show. The way that my friends and I text with each other all the time, it's hilarious and it's gross. But this is just what we're talking about here. You go after people for whatever the hell you can make fun of. If you know when you're being attacked. You know when you're being attacked. You know when it's malicious intent. You know when somebody wants to hurt you. Because when you want to hurt somebody's feelings, you go for the worst thing you can find. And it's there's energy behind it and everything else. They want to kill jokes, because if you are able to pinpoint something about a person that is over the top, that is just completely out of touch with reality, and you could put a little bit of a spin of humor on it, it denigrates their meaningless arguments. They have no arguments, and that's why comedy needs to be destroyed, because they have already committed to living within that realm of parody we used to only go to for laughs. That is their everyday life now.
That's really, really poignant. Listen to this. Is that nice?
That's the rain?
Yeah, you hear that?
Yeah, it's not here yet.
It's nice. Anyway.
Yeah, the rain from the Carolinas hasn't gotten to New York yet.
Well, it's here, and it's a nice rain. But I didn't really even want to talk about the Crowder thing, but I think it kind of fed into what we were doing.
I think it's great.
All right, so here's this clip from Hannity last night. It was kind of like a joke segment, and I kind of didn't like that he even did it. It's about the Chick-fil-A attacks and the dodgeball argument, where people are saying that dodgeball is like should be banned and, you know, taken out of schools and all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new thing. So
dodgeball now? I thought that nobody's playing dodgeball for years already.
I don't know, but I love dodgeball.
I love it too.
So we're going to listen to, it's Dr. Gina Loudon on the right, and then I forget her name on the left, who is, it just encapsulates so perfectly. You'll see what I'm talking about. We're going to listen to the whole thing. It's a couple minutes. It's like I hope it's not too long, but we'll stop it as we go. I think this is an important exercise for our listeners. You ready?
Yep.
Next, as we continue.
Oh, I don't want the commercials.
Catalina magazine publisher, crazy liberal, Kathy Aru. well, say that affectionately.
Thank you.
Dr. Gina, I love dodgeball. Love dodgeball. I played it. It's a red ball. It's rubbery. It doesn't hurt. Why is dodgeball now under attack?
Well, you know, because this is honestly so much of this, Sean, falls into the brainwashing that is happening to our children in favor of socialism. This is a sort of, you know, competitive sport. It teaches you about falling down and getting back up. And unfortunately for the regressive left, science doesn't prove out their theory that this somehow damages children. In fact, studies now say that the coddling we've done over the last couple of decades have actually damaged our children, increased their rates of anxiety, increased depression, and Sean, there's a 70% increase in women's suicide rates.
No winners, no losers, and everyone gets a trophy. Kathy, I bet you love that idea.
Not helping, yeah.
Well, no, dodgeball's not helping. It's cultural domination. So people that come from other cultures into our culture, studies have found, don't understand dodgeball. I can understand why someone like Sean Hannity would win at dodgeball and love it so much.
Oh, but yeah, when you're 5'2",
I can imagine. When you're 5'2",
if I played against you and Dr. Loudon, I would protect Dr. Loudon and go right for you.
Thank you. And I don't know what that means because I am Latina, I'm Cuban, and I never played dodgeball. I didn't understand it. My father said it when
hold
he was
on,
married.
Just wait.
I understand it. You take a ball, you throw it, you try and hit the person and
never
get them out.
Never heard of it. I actually never heard of it, never played
Sean,
it as
in a free
child.
Society.
I'm sorry,
in a free society, people aren't afraid to compete, and we have to.
She basically, again, she's going to do this again, but she just said she's never heard of it. She doesn't know what it is.
She's never heard of dodgeball, and it's not her culture because she's Latina and Cuba, and it's just I can't stand it. What are you talking about?
Well,
half of the kids that used to destroy me were Hispanic in dodgeball.
So
not part of her culture.
Forget the culture argument. She's on this show debating why it's bad and doesn't know what it is. Let here we go.
Yeah, that's true,
big
too.
Big bodies and our strength, like
you have to use your mind
dodgeball.
For athletics.
By the way,
I
used to
you were in some sort of athletic pursuit.
I used to throw it hard. And by the way, I enjoyed getting everybody out.
There is a lot of psychology. That's what they're saying. Actually, the Canadians.
And you want to give every kid a trophy, right, Kathy? No more winners, no keeping score, no losers. We're all equal.
There are
we keep score?
There are sports that are beautiful. Chess, I mean, soccer, baseball. There's beautiful sports, but there's football and there's dodgeball. These things are barbaric. They're very cultural.
You need to play dodgeball.
You're very American.
Yeah. Yeah,
now, that's the first time. Hold on. I think she's going to say it again. There's a reason why I'm doing this. Bear with me, people. Bear with me.
Dude, no, I will not play.
I'll let you and Dr. Loudon play dodgeball, and I'll put my money on Dr. Loudon.
I think she would beat me because I do not know what that is.
She doesn't know what it is, but she's preaching how it shouldn't happen anymore.
Because they're liars and actors, and they feign this ignorance as if it's so below them that they don't know what it is, but it just doesn't fly.
It doesn't fly
in a civilized world.
Just wait until we get into Chick-fil-A, okay? Because this is where it really got me. She said something to the effect of like, I was protesting Chick-fil-A before I knew what Chick-fil-A was.
This is what I said, in times when these types of things come up here too, and whenever I talk to somebody like my buddy Fleckus, who does a lot of their work on the street and they do a lot of protest interviews and all that stuff. My question I always ask is, or the observation I always make, I would have to say, is that simply put, some people follow their passions, other people follow their rage. And there's really only two ways to go about things when your life distills down to that point. You either go for things that you love, or you know that there are just certain types of categories of things you're going to have to reject without even knowing anything about if you have to just follow your rage. Someone like this follows their rage, of course, with a smile, a condescending grin, the bubbly passive aggressive attitude, the gaslighting. That's exactly what she's doing the whole time. Makes you want to slap her in the face. Of course, I wouldn't. But I would love to play dodgeball against her. That's for sure.
Let's listen to her say it out of her own mouth.
But they believe it.
And you don't have to buy it, Kathy. I'll eat twice as much.
Oh, I've been boycotting Chick-fil-A before I understood why I was boycotting it. But
that's it. Your rage.
Right there. I've been boycotting Chick-fil-A before I understood why I was boycotting it. You lemming. I mean, this came out of her mouth on television. I'm just saying, okay?
Yeah. Oh, it's not lost onto rational people how these arguments are being formulated. And it's not lost onto rational people. A rational person will hear that and go, oh my God. Even if you're on the left and you're rational, you'll hear that and go, oh, this is not a good spokeswoman.
I don't even know what to say about it. I sat there and I just started laughing last night listening to it because I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just perfect. It should be a sound clip that you put underneath people's tweets on Twitter. I want to move to something a little more interesting. It is the Southern Poverty Law Center has now been pretty much directly tied to Antifa. And there is a gentleman on Twitter named Dr. Eoin Lenihan, a former teacher and current analyst focused on online extremism. And their team mapped the social interactions of 58,254 Antifa affiliated accounts on Twitter based on just 16 self-identifying and verifiable Antifa accounts. And they did this analysis and went through the whole thing, and they were able to tie in journalists from The Guardian, journalists from The Huffington Post as literally participating, not just as, you know, outliers. They're basically weaponizing journalism to go after people that they don't agree with. And they're making stories like Tim Pool was on Crowder in an episode I just watched. And he was basically saying, like, they teach you when you're in journalism school that you're not supposed to be the story. You're not supposed to create the story. You're supposed to report on the story. But what journalists are doing, and he used this example, is like, let's say they see a Proud Boy go into a laundromat and then come out. They'll go into the laundromat and be like, why do you support white supremacy? And they'll basically like create a story where one doesn't exist just to target their enemies. And the gentleman documents all of this and he sets it all out on his Twitter. And then, of course, he gets attacked by the people in Antifa that literally all they do is dox people on Twitter all day long, even people who have nothing to do with anything who end up being innocent. And I go to look at his Twitter feed, Frank, and it's down. He got suspended. He got suspended for, I'm assuming, the study. I'm assuming they went after him and suspended him.
Gang justice.
And he says, another set of researchers brave enough to acknowledge Antifa members as extremists. Not surprising to see the sickening abuse by Antifa accounts, having had nearly a week of it of myself. Jack, there is a massive Antifa problem on your platform. And what happens? He gets suspended. He's suspended from Twitter. And you know what I'm seeing? This tweet is unavailable. This tweet is unavailable. This tweet is unavailable. So I'm going to link the study that he did in the description box below. But the Southern Poverty Law Center is now directly tied to a hate organization that they refuse to name a hate organization. And
there's a few of the links to them, too. I was looking at not too long ago. I wish I had that available for tonight. But the SPLC is... no good. You know who I'm going to be talking to next week? One of the founders, if not the founder, of Oath Keepers.
Who?
Stuart.
Oh, Stuart Rhodes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's going to be calling into the show mainly because I was always interested in the organization itself ever since I saw them listed in the MIAC security report.
Yeah.
How you know them returning veterans. Combat veterans, Second Amendment groups, all that, those should be designated as high risk
terrorism,
domestic
terrorism or whatever.
Yeah. So I've always wanted to talk to somebody about them. So there's that. And of course, the SPLC has got so much on them on the internet when I went to go looking into it. And they're all over anything that is even slightly pro-America or patriotic. So that's definitely there too.
I did a lot of research into the SPLC, and I found a family connection that really, really concerned me. But I was unable to, responsibly, I will add, I was unable to, there was a symbol that was tattooed on someone, and I was unable to source what it actually was, but it was a version of a swastika. And I was unable to prove what the symbol meant. So I hung back and didn't report the story because there was no way, you know what I mean? It was just been irresponsible. But I thought it would have been very ironic to have somebody at a very, very prominent position, no longer there, at the SPLC with a direct family member, their son, who is, by all intents and purposes, an extremist of their own. A real one. But not only that, these people, they partner with their friends in the media and government. We've talked about this on the show. And the governments will, like, there are governments, state governments, that are now prosecuting or going after thought crime, like before something happens, or pre-crime, like Minority Report. Mm-hmm. They'll, you know, use these lists to keep watch on citizens that belong to these groups, some of which are just patriotic American groups. And the law enforcement in these places is focused on them. Law enforcement. Because of the Southern Poverty Law Center said so. It's scary.
Yeah, that's where we're going here. Where we're going as far as the pre-crime stuff. I still have to look into TAPS. I've been overwhelmed by some stuff, but there's a few things I want to listen to about this pre-crime stuff that's going on here. We know that it's happening in the UK. They've been ahead of the curve on that for a long time. But you know, I remember PRISM when all of the information about the PRISM came out around 2012 or 13, around there. I forget when it was, but that stuff has always been very interesting, where facial recognition is not even necessary anymore, where even if you're wearing a disguise, they can pick you up based on how you walk.
It's like persons of interest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, to say, oh, well, we put facial recognition at airports. Okay. Well,
that's just what they're letting us accept.
Exactly. That's just the bone right there. Just like when they say we're putting RFID chips in your pets so that, you know, your pets don't get lost. And so then it's a little bit easier to say, well, how about you put an RFID chip into your kid until they're 18? Mm-hmm. So we can fight against kidnappers. And then once it's already inside, why don't you just leave the chip in there? Let's just do some upgrades, and you can have all of your medical information, your credit cards. It can just all be in there, and we'll, you know, you don't have to carry a wallet with you anymore. So it's all the same damn stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. We've been talking about it for a long time. I mean, I've been talking about it for like a decade, this stuff. Moving along, I did some research yesterday, which I wasn't ready to present as its own report, but I wanted to talk about it with you. Today on the show, hold on a second, I gotta pull it up, because I wasn't gonna go here now. But basically, I started looking into the case of the dude allegedly behind the Vault 7 data drop to Assange. His name is Joshua Schulte. He's a young computer whiz, right? He works for the NSA and the CIA, and he is apparently the one who dropped all the Vault 7 stuff to Assange. They go after him. They go to his apartment. They raid his apartment. He's very cooperative. He hands over his phones. He hands over all his stuff. They look on his phone. He's hosting like a virtual server in his apartment for like gaming. And so he's got a bunch of people accessing the server all the time. They're always storing, you know, they all have a password. They're storing data on there and their shares or whatever for whatever purpose they're using. The cops, when he hands his phone to them, they find the passwords. Now, granted, this stuff happened when this dude was a teenager, okay? Like what I'm talking about right now, because he's very young. I think he's 30 now, but when this was all going on, he was a lot younger. And All of a sudden, magically, when they're searching his computer, they find child porn on it. 10,000 images.
This is the scariest thing. This is the scariest thing. I turn off my computer at night, but I heard that even if you turn your computer off at night, a buddy of mine who has been a hacker for a long, long time says that
it doesn't matter.
Get right through the power lines.
Yep.
Through the power
because
lines.
There's the chips now, the processing chips have power on, or like power over Ethernet is another technology they use where you grab power from the actual network line. There's so many ways around it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You could unplug it. That would probably be the best thing for you to do. But he's arguing he's not guilty. He's saying there were how many, God knows how many people had access to the server in the online gaming community. He's saying he got slapped with like 30 charges and they're just going after him. So I was reading some of the transcripts. He's appealing. He was out, you know, he was on supervised release. He asked his probation. He wasn't allowed to use the internet. Asked his probation officer if his roommate could use the internet to help him research for his case. They gave his roommate permission, and then the judge threw him in jail anyway, in solitary confinement, because the judge said that he violated his supervised release when his probation officer allowed him the ability to, you know, have his roommate use the internet on his behalf. And in addition to that, the judge said that he was abusing the privilege after he had already been scolded. But the hearing where he scolded him happened after the alleged incident that they were throwing him into solitary for. So it just seems to me so far to be a case of let's target this dude with everything we've got because he did this and gave this information over to Assange. When the reason why I started looking into this was that they said they weren't going to prosecute Assange for the Vault 7 releases. And I found that very interesting, given what we know about Warner and Waldman.
Comey.
And Comey, exactly.
Yeah, no, I thought that's the first thing I thought about when I heard about the Vault 7 charges or the Vault 7 issue being backed off on. Because you would think, out of all the things, I have still not seen anybody that has given a bona fide example or proof that Julian Assange was part of the actual hacking or a part of the actual information extraction from the U.S. government when it came to the Bradley Manning thing. Definitely part of the dissemination, which at that point, then you have nothing on him because he's just a journalist at that point. But when it comes to Vault 7, I mean, this is...
The thing is this. The reason why they're likely not going after him is because they'd have to go in and declare that the information is true and valid, and it is of such a sensitive nature that they don't want to confirm or deny it. So, like, that's probably why they went after this Josh guy with the pedophile stuff, if that's what happened. Unless the guy had child porn on his machine, but it doesn't feel that way to me. And so if they went after him, you know, and they charged him with the Vault 7 stuff, but then when they get to discovery, the CIA is forced to acknowledge it. That's not where the CIA wants to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they have to find something else, which if you take this case of Vault 7 and you put it next to the Manning case of what Julian Assange did, the Iraq war logs, right? Why are they still looking for information from Manning in regard? You know what I'm saying? Like still in jail in contempt.
Really?
Yeah. She refuses to speak about it. Refuses to answer any more questions. Says, you know, here's a superseding indictment. You've got all the information. I don't understand why you need me. Refuses to talk to the government, and is still sitting in a jail cell for it. There's something going on here, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the politics on that one are not of the side in power right now. And I'm not saying that they're being politically persecuted, but I think that there is a political or an activist sort of a bent to the stand that's being taken by Chelsea Manning right now. So I think the politics are being brought into it. When I got to be honest with you, we covered the story on the show and I covered myself. what I found in regards to Manning talking about Huma Abedin being under investigation and then all of a sudden getting clemency. There's just something weird going on here.
There is something weird. It's almost like hearing rumbling and thudding and stuff like that coming from behind a closed door. And you just don't know who, like, what the hell
who's
is
banging?
That?
What are they who's, banging on? Yeah.
Who's banging? Who's got the upper hand? Is this a fight? Is it a scuffle? Who's got the upper hand? You know, every once in a while you see people, both sides, come out from the from behind the closed door to have a cigarette. And then go back in.
Yeah.
And then go back in. And it's both. It's like, well, they just came out today. The other person came out the day before. So, you know, it's almost like you go back a year and a half ago and we're talking about this one and that one wearing boots and wearing trackers. And then everybody's supposed to be in place and nobody's going anywhere. And all of a sudden they're vacationing in Hawaii or they're in the Caribbean somewhere or they go to India to promote a book. And you're like, what the hell? What is all this? And that's why sometimes it's just best to take a break and pick up a nice fictional novel. Just pick up a novel, read some fiction, and just get away from this nonsense.
I've got something fictional we can talk about. That it's like more on the lines of comedy at this point. It's a CNN poll of the percentages of support for the 20-something Democratic candidates for president. Do you want to hear the rundown?
This will be very pleasing. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Biden is at the top with 32%.
Whoa.
Yeah. Sanders comes in second at 18%. Kamala Harris at 8%. Elizabeth Warren at 7%. Buttigieg rocking everywhere at 5%. O'Rourke is at 5%. Booker is at 3%. Castro's at 2%. Klobuchar's at 2%. Bennett, I've never heard of, is at 1%. Gabbard and Gillibrand are at 1%. Inslee, Ryan, and Yang are at 1%. De Blasio is polling at less than 1%. Delaney, less than 1%. Hickenlooper, less than 1%. Williamson, less than 1%. Bullock, Messam, Moulton, and Swalwell are polling at 0%. And Swalwell is our next story, coincidentally.
I heard Hickenlooper got booed for denouncing socialism. If you wanted to gauge... What state the Democrat Party is in.
Well, that's oh gosh. I can't wait to see who their candidate is. I don't think that Biden can make it through an entire campaign season.
Where's Gabbard again?
1%, I believe.
Gabbard, she's a liberal in every sense of the word when it comes to the economy and social justice and all that stuff. But she is getting the Ron Paul treatment, my friend.
Yeah, she is.
She's getting the Ron Paul treatment, especially when it comes to free speech and foreign policy. I always thought, and I tend to think, I mean, even it just like it, maybe in my just imaginary world, that it would be really interesting to have Donald Trump ask her if she wants to go to the State Department. That'd be really interesting.
It would be interesting.
Oh, it'd be. Listen, we'd have a lot healthier relationships out there in the world.
Well, yes and no.
I want out of everything.
I know, but I feel like she's a pacifist in a way. You can't be weak and like, well, I'm so sorry.
I'm not asking anybody to go on an apology tour, but if there is an actual threat to American life, I'm pretty sure that nobody, especially her, who's a veteran, would stand away from a fight if there's actually a threat to American life. But most of the fights that we're engaged in right now they're thousands of miles away, where the only Americans that are in danger are those that are out there serving.
They should be on our southern border, in my opinion. Anyway,
all of them, the
entire U.S. military.
Take the 30,000 troops out of Germany right now
and put them on the southern border.
The hell needs them in Germany?
For real.
Got there.
Did you see that picture? It was. Yeah. I don't think it was doctored. Doctored. I use that very, very specifically. I don't think it was doctored. I think it was real. It was Bibi Netanyahu holding his finger up, and Merkel was standing next to him, and the shadow of his finger formed like what looked like a Hitler mustache on Merkel's face.
Oh, no, I did not see this.
It was crazy.
I didn't see it.
It was really crazy. I'm going to have to find it and send it to you.
I want to see that.
Okay. Here is what Swalwell says. he says on The View, the biggest political show out there, right?
The most important.
The most important. Right. Ban and buy back every single assault weapon in America. The government has nukes for those who refuse to comply with the ban, remember?
Wait, he said the nuke comment again?
No.
Okay.
No. No, but he's basically saying that he's said, and in The View, like the context of it was that like if you don't give up your guns, you'll be arrested. And I'm like, try that with the 20-something million or 30 million gun owners in America and see what happens. Do you remember the Alex Jones clip where he says 1776 will commence again?
If you try to take
our firearms.
That's exactly what would happen. Well, you know what? First of all, he's just a pathetic little constipated man. Swalwell is a pathetic constipated man who is desperate to get some kind of attention toward a campaign that is going to bottom out very, very soon. I don't even think that he's going to – maybe he'll hang around for a debate if there – I mean, he'll probably be on like ESPN3 for his debate though, because there's going to be no –
$65,000 in donations.
Yeah, there's going to be no room for him on any stage.
How
going to
embarrassing.
Yeah, well, they're all embarrassing. All embarrassing. And – for him to, he just needs to try to create some kind of a buzz about him. And this is the way he's choosing to do it, which is a really interesting hill to die on, because aside from the fact that all of his ideas would just be destroyed by the Supreme Court, all of his ideas would just be summarily ignored by states that are starting to take responsibility for themselves, like Missouri. That is just really what needs to be happening right now. We need state nullification of federal overreach, and they just have to go out and do it. People like Swalwell, they know that these are losing battles. It just doesn't matter. They just want to show the people that they can say things that are really bold, and then if they actually get a chance to put their plans to action, then they can say the only reason why they can't get it done is because of all the resistance they're getting. But we're on the trail. We're on the good fight. We're doing our thing. It's all a big act, and they're the biggest bunch of bullshitters I've ever seen in my life.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take all the firearms. Doesn't matter how many...
again
if you try to take our firearms.
I watched that live, and I was talking with friends while it was happening. I said, this is amazing. Listen, the guy's got balls.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
Maybe a limited hangout, but that was one hell of a performance that night.
Did you know, Frank, that Democrats are planning to host a Capitol Hill event featuring psychiatrists who will warn that President Trump is unfit for office based on his mental health?
No, I didn't. But they already tried this. It didn't work.
Yeah, I know. They're recycling. Like, we're back in. They've got. I mean, we're in. Listen, they are green. You know, they do want to reduce, reuse, recycle. But they should do more reducing because these things do not work. Quote from the leader here, Lee. The president's condition has been visibly deteriorating.
Yes.
To the point where there's a lot of talk right now about his mental state beyond mental health professionals. It no longer takes a mental health professional to recognize the seriousness of the current presidency. Yeah, I know, you're right. You know who these people are recognizing? Adam Schiff calling the Attorney General of the United States of America the second most dangerous man in the country. That's what they're realizing.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk between 42nd and 57th Street in New York City. A lot of talk that the president's health is deteriorating. Nobody else sees that. It's New York City and L.A. It's so ridiculous. And of course, it's where it just makes sense that this is where all this news is generated, you know. And I don't know. It's just I remember that the diagnosis, they had people calling in right around the time that the president got a clean bill of health for both physical and mental. And then all of a sudden they stopped that because that was part of their first round of 25th Amendment play. That's before we knew what Andrew McCabe was doing behind the scenes. They were doing something overtly on the television that didn't really go anywhere that far. And to think that they can bring physicians out who have never actually examined a person before to say from thousands of miles away, showing signs of this, diagnosing this and that. So they can do that. These are the same people that arbitrarily put a stamp of approval on what is life and what is not life.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean,
this is just it. They're very, very talented individuals.
You know, the crazy thing is that, like, this is against everything. Like, even the American Psychiatric, like, whatever the authority is that rules over what these people do, says you cannot diagnose somebody without seeing them. But, you know, at the same time, you're kind of seeing this move to online healthcare, like where you can see a doctor sitting in front of your computer. Have you seen this?
No.
You can literally, like, through some of the clinics, the walk-in clinics and stuff, and other services, you can see a doctor for your illness from online, like over a video connection.
How convenient.
And I would never want to do that. Like,
no. First of all, especially if you're talking psychiatry and you want somebody to talk to, I don't know why you want to have any of that broadcast digitally, even if you think it's a secure connection. I don't know why you'd want to be in anywhere else but a closed room.
I didn't even think about it from that aspect, which is poignant. I thought of it from the aspect of wanting the guy to listen to my damn lungs.
First of all, how the hell do you do that?
Well, you can't. That's the thing.
You have to bend over and you have to show him, you know, I've got something on my ass. I don't know what it is. So then you're just sitting there bending over for a webcam and it's just X videos again. It all comes back to porn. That's it.
It all comes back around. Hey, Margot Cleveland started a thread about she wants a comprehensive list of questions that we need Barr to investigate or answer concerning Spygate.
Okay.
And I'm going to put the link. And there are some really good questions underneath here. And seeing these people talking about, well, I put a few on there, but they're talking about Sater and they're talking about the DNC and who are the private contractors involved with the unmasking and who, you know, the campaign finance violations and all of the stuff about the FISA and what Rosenstein said to Matt Gaetz about how he was, you know, the one that he signed is not what's being reported in the media. It's very, very, very refreshing to see all these people asking these questions. It just proves that so many people know this story and, we've done a good job of getting it out there for, you know, to people.
Yeah. It almost feels like senioritis at this point, where feels so comfortable at the end of the year. Because you did all your work, you got out ahead of it, you put the long nights in studying, you got some ideas. You still don't know everything. There's always room. Your cup is never filled. But there's a lot of people who are going to have to do years worth of catching up soon. And it's good to see that there's a new a second layer of people that are actually starting to do that, because it's going to have to. It's almost like, you know, trickle down enlightenment almost.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like a waterfall.
Yeah.
Or a stream, a bubbling brook. A bubbling brook. What do you want to end with today? Do you got anything funny? I'd like to end on a lighter note.
Kesha wants to rid the world of rich white straight men.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Yeah, she was just at the Capitol Theater the other night. My buddy Tony is part of the driving service that took her back to her hotel in Greenwich.
He's not supposed to talk about that.
He's not supposed to talk to her either. That was one of the things. Kesha does not want the driver to address her at all. So,
especially if it's a white man.
But then again, this is an abused girl. I mean, just went through the meat grinder that is the entertainment industry.
Yeah, but they keep on ruining everything. Everything gets ruined. Like, I appreciated her music in small part until today.
The only reason why I said before I would love to have had her on the show as a guest was because I do know that she's pretty smart. Book wise, she's a smart girl. And the other thing is she has a good taste in music as far as rock goes. What she produces is something else, but she had good taste in music. And she was also part of a lot of those. She was part of a lot of the interesting rape allegations and Hollywood culture types of situations not too long ago, where her story, her abuses made its way to the mainstream media. And I wanted to be able to, you know, talk to her a little bit more about the shadowy side of things. But it looks like she's still trying to keep her career intact, so she probably wouldn't even answer that anyway. Instead, she's putting all of her attention toward rich, straight white men, which I guess...
Can we read the lyrics real quick?
Which ones?
To the song, Rich White Straight Men.
Let me see.
I got them.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Here's a verse. You could ride a unicorn to school, and if you fall off, you'd have health care. And if you finish school, you'd go to college for free. That makes sense, and that's fair.
What?
And if you were a lady, then you would own your lady parts, just like a man goes to a dealership and then he owns a car. Vroom, vroom, F you. What if life as we knew it was over? Guess what? God is a woman. I know her. What if rich, white, straight men didn't rule the world anymore? If you're from another land, then come here. You won't have to climb a wall. And if you're a boy who loves a boy, you'll get a wedding cake and all. And if you're a lady, you do your lady work, then you'll make as many dollars as the boys, not just 2/3.
Wow, she's a dummy.
It's over.
I take it back. She's a big dummy.
It's over.
Big dummy. First of all, what if rich, straight white men didn't rule the world? I'll tell you what would happen. They'd ban dodgeball.
Not only ban dodgeball, but we wouldn't have a country right now.
No, we wouldn't. Who's going to go fight all the who's going to go fight? Who fights when there's actually a fight need to be fought? You know, what are they?
Who
are they going to look to? We can send the caches out there.
Hold on a second. Just give me a second. Give me a second, Frank. This is for all the men out there. This woman appreciates you, appreciates everything you do. I don't hate you. I love you. I want to hold you up and empower you. And I'm just going to work my ass off so that my production's the same as yours and I can get paid the same as you do too. Because that's the American dream, Frank. Isn't it the American dream?
The American dream for me is making more than a woman, no matter what we do.
You know what? I'll get on board with that. Do you want to know why? Because I love men, Frank. I love men in all of their glory. You guys go out there. Stay strong. Fight the matriarchy. I've got your back.
So do I.
King, truth is marching. Truth is marching.
That's 2/3. In what, though? I mean, we don't have to rehash that stupid argument.
No.
We don't have to rehash that one. Yeah, because there's so many male and female dominated fields that nobody wants any part of one another. Like, why isn't Kesha trying to get herself into deep sea drilling?
Why doesn't Kesha stop complaining while she makes multi-million dollar records?
Yeah, Kesha is making much more than a Boilermaker does.
And a coal miner.
Yeah.
Ay. That's it for today. I'm done. I'm just going to slam the freaking microphone down and walk out.
I think this is a good one. It's a nice middle of the week show. And we have to, you know, it was good.
It was good. You guys have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Stormy Weather Val
and Beans, which you can hear every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 p.m. on Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and RadioInfluence.com. We'll see you Friday.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, Radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.